over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at this mending and looking at what it means to mend the world, what changes that we need to make. And I'm being distracted, and I hope I'm not distracting you too much. But that's okay. Now I can read my notes. But I'll be following the mending series, which is put out by Australian Baptist Missions. And so we're looking at what it means to mend our world. But we do live in a broken world. I used to try and watch the news as much as possible to keep up. But the more we watch the news, the more overwhelmed we feel sometimes. And so I've kind of watching the news a lot less, but trying to keep up at the same time. And I thought this week I'll do a quick world news shuffle and see what's happening. I just thought I'd bring you up to date to help you to be overwhelmed as well. First time, Palestine. There's a huge amount of destruction in Palestine, and I'm not talking about whose side we should be on, but Palestine's a mess. There's hundreds of thousands of people that their entire lives have been destroyed. They have nowhere to live, they have no food, they have no water, and it's a horrible, horrible space. Whoever side you think is right or wrong, it's irrelevant that there's so many people that are broken and hurting. Russia and the Ukraine, it's 3 years since that began, and that's a horrible, horrible place that Russia just decided, well, I don't want to make a political comment, but wanted to take back what country they thought should be theirs, and so picked a fight with a much smaller group of people, thinking it would be quick and easy. At the moment, Russia spends one third of their governmental income on weapons and the military. And to give you an idea, that's £324 billion, which is $614 billion Australian dollars each year. What this means in 2024, their goals are to develop a new industry of unmanned aviation systems, which means 18,000 large and medium-sized drones that they're creating, building this year. If that doesn't overwhelm you. Flipping over to Hong Kong, I hope you're following on your maps. Hong Kong, there's a lady who should be out of prison. Her name is Zhang Zhan. She's Chinese. She was in Wuhan 4 years ago and started reporting on what was happening in Wuhan at the start of COVID. That put her offside with the Chinese authorities. She's been in prison for 4 years. Her charge was picking quarrels and provoking trouble, which gave her 4 years in prison. In Brazil, I don't know if you know, but there's been floods in Brazil the last couple of weeks. At the moment, the death toll is 83. There's 111 people at least that are missing, 276 reported injured. Possibly at least 121,000 people have been displaced, and it's affected more than 850,000 people in 345 municipalities around Brazil. In the Sudan, there's a war in the Sudan where internal strife, and there's people that are displaced everywhere, but people are now dying of malnutrition. Malaria is rampant. Women are having miscarriages. Basically, the war in Sudan broke out a couple of years ago, last year, and they're threatening, the famine is threatening more than 8.7 million people. Last year, there were two different massacres. They believe there were 15,000 people killed in these two massacres. I read in India, a family was killed in a fire, which is, we think, normal. It's based in the dowry system. So what had happened is one family believed that the lady's, this wife's dowry wasn't paid, and so they attacked the other family and burnt down their home, killing most of them. Dowries have been illegal since 1961, but 90% of Indian marriages still involve dowries. Police believe they receive thousands of complaints of harassment each year, And crime results say that 35,500 brides were killed in India in 5 years because of insufficient dowry. Child trafficking in the world is rampant. What they're doing at the moment is on social media, they talk about if you can come to this country as kids, if you can come to this country, we can give you jobs and then you can get some wealth and you can have a better life. And kids, because it's read on social media, grab hold of it. So they're migrating to other countries within Africa and finding the only thing there for them is child trafficking. There is all their promises are broken. In the Gambia, which is Northwest Africa, they don't see child trafficking as an offence, especially using the children in street begging and using them for domestic work, especially as vendors on the streets. The largest number of child exploitation is in the Philippines, when they say there's about 60 to 100,000 children who are victims of human trafficking, mostly in the child sex industry. That's all horrible. And I don't want to create a space of overwhelmed for you, but I want to say this world is broken. This world is hurting. We live in a safe, reasonably comfortable place. Safe, a little cold, but nice. We live in a safe country. Even in the darkest places in Australia, it's still a reasonably safe country. We have child welfare, we have schooling, we have health systems. We live in a good, safe, comfortable country, but not everyone in the world lives in that sort of world. So what do we do about that? What's easy is to ignore it, just to turn it off, to say it doesn't exist, I don't want to know about it, to just ignore it. But is that where God's at? I was broken. Years ago, I was very, very broken. And I think most of us in this room have a time and a place where we were broken. And Jesus came and met with us. What would have happened if Jesus said, it's all too hard? It's uncomfortable. I don't want to go to that place. What if Jesus said that to us, to me? I'm so relieved that he didn't. But if we're to be Jesus to this world, then can we turn around and say it's too uncomfortable, it's too icky, it's too hard? Often we just want to close off the hard place of this world, but that's where Jesus walks into. And there's a space where we need to walk into that place as Jesus does. Jesus wants to bring mending to this world. He wants to bring mending to the people in this world, the people around us. He wants to bring mending and healing and hope. And we're called to be a part of that. We read out this verse before in Galatians, and it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about connection and healing. And that's going to be the core scripture for this message today. Henry Nguyen, who's a theologian, talks about a group of wounded healers and calls us wounded healers. What he means by that is that we're all wounded, but our woundedness can be a source of strength and healing as we serve others. We don't come up out of a place of perfection and we don't come out of a place of superiority, but we come as a place of wounded healers, people who understand and empathize what it is to be broken, what it is to know pain and hurt, what it is to be rejected and disconnected. We come from that place to bring Jesus' word to those around us. So what can I do? What can we do? Well, I think we need to firstly be renewed. And firstly, we need to be renewed through a dependence on the Spirit. Galatians 5:6-7 said, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." We need to understand there is a conflict between the spiritual world and the flesh in the world that we live in. There's a conflict that's there, but there's a conflict within us as well. There's things that we, as our bodies, want to do. We want to live in comfort. We want to have nice things. We want to see nice things. We want to be treated well. But our spirit is challenging us in this comfort. We fight against what our body wants, what our mind wants, and what God wants in us. We need to fight for what God is wanting to do in our lives. Years ago, I was taught this expression, I am 100% responsible for my actions. What we can do is look in this world and say, well, I didn't do that. I didn't cause it. You know, I haven't been to Africa to cause war. I haven't been to the Philippines to cause child trafficking. I haven't done these things. But there's still a place for us to recognize that we are not perfect, that we have hurt people, and that we are a part of the problem, and we can become a part of the solution. I am 100% responsible for my own actions. How easy is it to turn around and to say, well, they did that, and I just reacted. I remember when the kids were small, they'd kick their toes on, I don't know, a table. They kick their toe on the table and go, bad table. And I'd go, you're the dill who kicked your toe. Well, I didn't say that. Sometimes I said that. But we learn to blame. It's like it's the table's fault for hitting me, even though, you know, tables don't move that much, usually. But we blame the table. We blame others. We look around the world and go, this is their fault. This is happening. But I am 100% responsible for my actions. I can't control what people do to me, but I need to be able to control who I am and how I respond. There's two words, react and respond. And I try to never react. I try to never react. I try to respond. Because a reaction is, a response is something we consider. We need to be people of response, not a people of reaction. We need to learn what it is to respond slowly, thoughtfully, and consideredly. I don't even know if that's a word, but you got the vibe. I remember years ago, my Bible college principal, Vic Aldridge, he used to say, there's two questions. And the first question is, do you really want what you say you want in life? Because I was to say, what do you want in life? Is your answer the same as what it is outside? Because there's a good church response, isn't there? And there's a response in our family, there's a response in our friends, there's a response in our community, and then there's the response that's really in here. What do you really want out of life? What do you really, really want out of life? Do you really want what you say you want in life? The second question is, if you do, what are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about it? Because the right answer in church is, I want to follow God, right? Okay, hands up whose main goal in life? No. We say that we want to follow God. If that's true, what do we want to do about it? If our goal is to become more like Jesus, what are we going to do about it? Because to say it means nothing unless we're doing something about it, unless we're pursuing it, unless we're changing our lives to become more like Jesus. And the challenge is to take on that challenge of saying what it is, what do I need to change? What do I need to be different? What do I need to confront? How do I need to make myself uncomfortable to become more as Jesus would be to the community I live around? The second thing we need to look at is renewing through culminating of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not much of a gardener. I live in a beautiful place with lots of lovely trees. I trim them. I have no idea what they are called, and I have no idea what makes them live and grow, but I'm hoping that I do something right. But I do know when we plant vegetables that we care for them. We plant them and we make the dirt right, and we plant them and we water them and we get the sun on them. It's all that. We need to cultivate them. We need to look after them. And you know what I've never found? I've never found the day after I plant them that they've got fruit on them. Those blighters take forever. And you know what? As they're growing, all these other green things grow and they're not welcome and they grow even better than the ones I want to grow. What's with that? Do I need to mention cobbler's pegs? Oh my goodness. Why can't we harvest cobbler's pegs? Though, anyway, that's a side issue. We grow plants, we grow vegetables, we grow fruits, but it takes time, sometimes years, for the fruit to come. But these weeds grow up constantly. And if we want to become more like Jesus, we're investing, we're cultivating, we're watering in our lives what that is to become more like Jesus. But we're also pulling out weeds constantly. There is no one step to becoming more like Jesus. It's a daily chase. It's a daily challenge. It's pursuing God, making choices on who we are, of our character, of how we respond to those around us. It's a constant challenge for us to become more and more like Jesus. But our goal is to become more and more dependent, which takes weeding and takes a challenge and it takes perseverance. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, looks at the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's a mouthful of words. Not so much to read them, but to reflect on them, to become like that. What a challenge. When I asked you before, what are your goals? What would you love to be as a Christian? And if I was to put that question into a context of, what do you want to be in the Holy Spirit? The church would respond, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wanted the greater gifts. I want to be a prophet. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a healer. I want to be able to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. We have conferences, discussions, workshops on the gifts of the Spirit. How we can be Jesus through the gifts of the Spirit. But we don't have so many on the fruits of the Spirit, do we? I remember getting on a plane. I'm sure we've all gotten on a plane. And I don't know how, but I always end up sitting in a seat over the wing. Because I love looking out at everything underneath, and I usually look at a wing. And those wings are big suckers, aren't they? Have you ever looked at it? Have you ever walked under a plane? We lived in Newcastle. You get on a plane, you'd walk under it. You go, wow. Can you imagine having this big wing on one side as you're looking out? You know, it's meters wide and it's meters long. Imagine if you looked out the other side and expecting to see the same size wing, but there's this little wing that's only about 3 foot long and about a foot wide. Would you get on the plane? I'd be jumping off pretty quick. Because a wing to fly, a fly to wing, a plane to wing, a plane to fly, a fly to plane, a plane to fly. What's the phrase I'm looking for? For a plane to fly, it needs to have really good, strong wings. And it needs to have two wings of the same size. Engineers, am I wrong? And yet when we look at the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit often is reflected in an image of a bird with two wings, and on one wing is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the other is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If we as a church or we as Christians are pursuing and chasing after the gifts of the Spirit and wanting to be as amazing with the prophetic and with gifts of knowledge and with all of the gifts of the Spirit, and we're chasing after that and we're developing that, but we're not developing the fruits of the Spirit, we've got one huge wing and one tiny itty-bitty wing. And I think if we look at a lot of the issues in the church, we're not creating a balance between the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And I think the challenge on us as the church, the challenge on us as Christians, is how do we develop the fruits of the Spirit? How do we become people who are reflecting the character traits of God, not just the power and the gifts of God? How do we develop both of our wings to be able to pursue the wholeness of who God is? Because I really believe that we can walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and we can have words and we can do all sorts of amazing things, but if we don't have character, those words are just words. That we can speak words over people and they'll go in this deep. But if we have a character and we're caring and we're kind and we love and we're joyful and we speak those same words into people, they go straight to the hearts because of who we are, because of our character. God can do so much more if we're more like Jesus in our character, as well as experiencing the gifts of the Spirit. Am I saying don't pursue the gifts? No. What I'm saying is, are we pursuing the fruits of the Spirit? Are we pursuing our character? Or are we just pursuing the power of what God can do in us and through us? We need to chase after the fullness of who God is. And if we're truly seeking renewal, then we need to seek the renewal of the whole of who we are as people and as the people of God. And the third thing is renewing through community in the Spirit. Does anyone know what this is? Peter? Dog spike. It's probably the proper word. It's a nail thing that goes into the train tracks. Dog spike? It's a dog spike. It's one of those things. Years ago, I went to Thailand. And at Thailand, we went to Kanchanaburi, which is where the bridge over the River Kwai is. We went and looked at the Death Railway, to which there's railway spikes. And so I have this railway spike. It lives in my office to remind me of a few things. It reminds me of World War II. It reminds me of the pain and the suffering, the sacrifice that people made. It reminds me of my grandfather, who was in World War II as well. It reminds me of a trip to Thailand that I had with some high school kids. And we went and we walked along that and we talked about what it meant to be a Christian in a Buddhist world. We talked about what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant for the war and what that happened and the horror of what war is. So I have this, and we all have different tokens that we keep. Now, the longer story is, this isn't actually from Thailand because I got one and it was confiscated at the airport. Long story. Who would have picked me to be a terrorist with a railway strike? This is actually from Yandina car park next to the train line. So, you know, it's not imported illegally. I did not pull it out of a train track and watch a derailment. But it's a reminder of the story of these kids, the story of World War II. And in my office, I have a lot of different things that are reminders of different people and different places of where I've been. Different people who have impacted me, who have changed my life, some of them on purpose and some of them not. But I've got these things because we are a product of our community. We are a product of the people around us. We are a product of our families and our parenting. We're a product of those in our churches. We're a product of those who we live near. There's so many people that have an impact on us. And we have an equal impact on those around us. So what does that look like? In verses 25 and 26, it says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." We are in community, and as Christians, as brothers and sisters, we are committed to each other to grow in the community that God's put us into. We are called to be people of positive encouragement to those around us, to build strength and to build hope and to build life. And we need to be proactive about it. We can't just wait for it to happen, but we need to be proactive. There's people who are mentoring us and we are mentoring others, or we could be. We are journeying with each other and living lives with each other. And that's what we're called to be as Christians, brothers and sisters, supporting and loving and walking with each other. So looking at renewal, looking at our world, looking at mending, I think one of the things that we'd love to have is freedom. So what does freedom mean? What does freedom look like? Because I think that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? Freedom. And when we look at freedom, what do we perceive? Freedom is whatever I can, I want to do anything I can. But is that what true freedom is? We've been looking at Galatians 5. I want to go back to verse 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." We live in a world of sin. We live in a broken world. And we become a part of that broken world. We reflect that broken world in who we are. And as we pursue Jesus, as we accept Christ and what he's done in our lives, as he's bringing us forgiveness and healing and wholeness, we walk in the freedom that comes from that forgiveness. So when we say freedom, is it a case of being able to do whatever we want? Or is it a case of walking without the consequences of our actions? Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. We're called to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, to become more like Jesus, to reflect the character of our God. As we reflect him, we become free. As we reflect him, we don't live in the consequences of sin. We don't live as a reflection of this world, but we live as a reflection of God, our Father, who loves us, who cares for us, who died for us, who gives us hope. I want to challenge you, and I'm going to pray in just a moment to be able to say, God, of the fruits of the Spirit, what are the one that's challenging the most? There's nine, lots of options. For some of us, we've been walking down this path for a long, long time. For some of us, we're just starting. Some of us, we've got work to do in a couple of these areas. So I'm just going to pray. And as we pray, I'm going to read out the nine fruits of the Spirit and just ask God, which is the one that you're challenging me on? And how do I learn to be more and more like Jesus? Let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God. You have done so much for us. You've given us hope. You've given us life. You've brought forgiveness and healing. And Father, I ask that you enable us to become more and more like you. As a church, as a community, and as people, Father, we want to become more and more like Jesus. We want to be able to reflect the character of God, our Father. And Father, I ask that you help us to know the challenge that you've put in our lives and the challenge that you've got for us right now. As we dwell on the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, help us to be more like you. Father, help us as a community to reflect you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen.